Good morning.
Good morning.
Waiting for my computer to come up here. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. It's been since July 16, 2000 that I stood up here and married my wife. So glad to be back. Thank you for having us. The bulletin says Mark and Trudy Squires will be presenting a mission report. Well, that is true, but you won't see my wife up here. Dr. Hansen mentioned that there are people that like to stand in the background and help people who are in the spotlight, and my wife is one of those. She prepared my slide presentation for me and said, go do it. Okay. Darling, can you help me with this? It's not wanting to show me your desktop here. While she's working on that, I can tell you a little bit about what we're doing. I am the Chief Operations Officer at Gimby Adventist Hospital. My job is to manage all of the non-medical departments, the projects and the facilities. So we have some building projects, some facilities upgrades, and always a lot of administrative things to deal with. Trudy spends most of her time with Jonah, our 4.5-year-old son, who needs a lot of motherly attention. She also teaches an English class on our patio every day of, well, 3 days a week. And it's hugely popular. She started with one girl who was spent a lot of time at our neighbor's house, and she invited her to come and learn English with my wife once a week. My wife thought once a week, but because the English communication wasn't very good, she ended up coming every day, and she wanted another lesson, and then she started bringing her friends, and to the point we had 30 people on our patio. She's restarting it here. I think it's going to work out. Peter sleeps too long, it really goes dormant. So we've been over in Gimby for 2 years. Before that, we were in Nepal for 1 year. And I was asked to go over to Nepal to be the director of support services and manage the non-medical departments there. And after we fulfilled our commitment of 1 year, we were invited to go to Ethiopia. And a lot of the things that lessons we learned in Nepal, we were able to take with us to Ethiopia. Before that, I was working in construction for 7 years. I graduated from PUC with a degree in religion, and I was a little bit unfulfilled. I wanted to do something for the Lord, and I wasn't quite sure what to do, where to go. So I was thinking about it, trying to strategize, you know. And having a degree in religion, the next step would be to become a pastor and to learn all that I needed to become a pastor. And so I enrolled to be a student at the Mission College of Evangelism, which I believe your pastor went to that school. And I was accepted and I was ready to move up there. And I was reading in the book Gospel Workers that a person should have unmistakable evidence when they're called into the ministry. And I didn't have that unmistakable evidence. I was feeling a little unsure that was the direction that I should go. And so we had been praying for a long time for unmistakable evidence, and still that unmistakable evidence did not come. So we changed our prayer that if the Lord had a place for us, he would show us that place. It was working? And then I unplugged it. See, she doesn't need my help. There we are. Can you see that? It's a little dim. Okay, so here we are. My story. We changed our prayer. We got on our knees and we said, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to know what you want me to do. And there's got to be a place. If I'm willing, then you must be able to use me somewhere. And it was true. The Lord had the timing just right. So the moment we got on our knees and asked him to let us know where we wanted us, he inspired a friend of ours that was working in Nepal to send us an email inviting me to come over and help him out over there. And we got, so the next morning we woke up and we had an email inviting us to come to Nepal. And that's how we got started. So if you ever tell the Lord that you will go where he wants you to go, you better be ready to go where he wants you to go. So I don't know why this is so dark, but this is the countryside that we, this is between Addis Ababa and Ethiopia. It's about Addis Ababa and Gimbi, where our hospital is. This is on the road. This is kind of the rolling countryside. You can see you can't quite see, but there's a little bridge there. It's very beautiful. This is Gimbi, farming village. They measure the land there by how much a team of ox can plow in one day. We have acres. Thank you. We have acres, and they have a unit of land that's measured by how much oxen can plow in one day. So my next slide here. We've got a lot of nature.
I can't find the brightness control.
Ah, what if we turn this down?
Oh,
can you see there?
Yeah. Is it that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Volume control. Okay. Oh, it's crazy.
This is a Mac. They're not supposed to have problems.
So. Yeah, now where's your dock?
These things.
Good enough. Good enough. Yeah, we can see it.
That's all right. So we've got this beautiful nature and all. Let me see. I got a laser pointer.
Oh, just afraid of
it. Thank you. You know, it worked last night when I was in Madeira. My home church, but not for my wife's home church. So here's, this is a flycatcher. It's got this beautiful white tail. You know, everyone said, oh, you're in Africa. Well, what do you see? Do you have lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my. No, but we have some other beautiful things. We have three types of primates. This here baboon. They don't come on our campus. Praise the Lord. But we do have other... This is a little duiker. You cannot see that little guy. He's a little deer. He's an antelope of some kind. There's a crocodile in the river. This is not around our hospital, but there is... No, maybe it's a crocodile, maybe it's an alligator. Some of you will know. It's freshwater anyway. This oryx is in... This is in Awash National Park. This is not at our hospital. This camel. There's camels in Ethiopia. I was very excited to find that out, but they're not in our area. Hello. This monkey, this is an endangered species, this colobus here. He's got a friend up here that you can't quite see. And they come, this is about 10 feet from our house where they're sitting in a mango tree. And we built a patio out, so from our patio to that branch is about 4 feet or so. And they just come and stare in our window. There's some other little monkeys. I didn't have a photograph for you today. But we have these other little monkeys that come and eat our garden regularly. This is Jonah out catching butterflies. There's beautiful butterflies in Ethiopia and beautiful birds. We were in Nepal for a year and we went to Ethiopia. Two destinations for birders, if you're into birds in a big way. Ethiopia is the place to visit. They have some interesting nature. We enjoy getting out. We visited a local... This was about... I guess it was about 4 mile drive away. And this is... You can't quite see his face there. That's Mulgeta. He's the head of our housekeeping department. And we went to visit his church. He invited a bunch of us missionaries out to visit his church and to preach the sermon and give special music. We knew that he'd been walking back and forth and he had a long ways to go, but when we drove out to his church, we found out just how far he had to go to work every day, and he took about an hour and a half to walk each way back and forth to work. The guy is in good shape, but he's dedicated to his job. Women in Ethiopia lead a hard life. From very young age, they're expected to work in the home, while the boys can just kind of run loose. But women of all ages will carry firewood. It's their main source of fuel for cooking their food. And so many women will carry firewood and sell firewood to provide a small income. This woman is giving a nice grimace here. Many women, they marry young, they have children at a young age, and they work very hard, and they develop some problems. Prolapsed uteruses are very common because of the strain on the body, and we had a team come from Oregon State University of Health and Sciences. I have some pictures coming up later, but this is a woman who is prone to her body breaking down early, and we're glad to be able to come in and assist some women when they have problems develop. This is a typical Ethiopian home that's quite nice, actually, with a corrugated iron roof up there. These houses are in a little less repair. The lumber down here, they use this split eucalyptus wood. They put up walls and then plaster it with mud. And there you got a home that'll last about 10 years, they tell me. This home won't last quite that long with a grass roof. I wish you could see these things. Did that help? Not at all. How about now? Nope.
It's fine.
Okay. So these children, standing in front of their home. This, I think, is the Timkat, which is a festival in Ethiopia celebrated by the Orthodox, who claim to have the real Ark of the Covenant in Ethiopia. Their religious traditions go back to the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon, and they became Christians as soon as they found out about Jesus. They need more light, of course, and so that's why we hope to help. But this is one of their festivals where many parts of Ethiopia, they bring out the replicas of the Ark of the Covenant. Gimbi doesn't happen to be blessed with one of those replicas, but it's a quite exciting time. Since we've been in Gimbi, the streets have been paved. When we arrived, there was some base rock. Before that, it was just mud. Everyone said that all the shops, all the food, everything in Gimbi was covered with dust from all the trucks going by back and forth. But you can see that while there's modern pavement, we still have cattle crossing the street. So here's a mosque. In Addis Ababa, they say the population is about 50-50 Christian and Muslim. And in Gimbi, it's a much more dominant Christian, but there's a lot of Muslims. There's Ethiopian Orthodox, there's Coptic Christians, Makana Jesus, which is sort of a blend of a lot of different Christian denominations. And then there's, in Gimbi, a large population of Adventists. The hospital's been there for about 70 years, and I think that the hospital has played a large role in the influence in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In Gimbi alone, there are 7 Seventh-day Adventist churches. In the surrounding community, they say there's 30 Seventh-day Adventist churches around Gimbi. And so that is the largest population of Adventists in all of Ethiopia. And so while the hospital doesn't work directly with evangelism, we have done an evangelistic program at our hospital that was successful, but our job is mainly the health branch of the work. And I like to think that we play a large role by running the hospital successfully and giving a good name to Adventists in the community of Gimbi. These children, local children. This is the market where you can go buy yourself sheep. Children, the people in Ethiopia are beautiful. They lead hard lives, and it shows on their faces when they get older, but the children are gorgeous. This girl is out fetching water. This is pretty typical. They'll go to the river, the creek, a spring, or a mud puddle. And they'll walk for miles sometimes to find water. And it's not clean. It's full of all kinds of terrible things. They'll take these jugs, bring them home, and let the water settle for a day or so until the sand and other murkiness drops out to the bottom, and then they'll drink the water right out of the streams. These people are harvesting teff, which is their main staple food. It looks like grass. They thresh the grass seed off of it. It looks like grass seed in your hand. And then they pound it. This girl's pounding. They'll put the teff and they'll pound it into flour. Then they mix water and flour together and let it set for three or four days. And then it creates like a sourdough bread. They cook it over open fire on a clay dish. This girl here, this is a coffee pot that's on the stove here, on the fire here. But then in the next picture you can see, oh, you cannot see. This is terrible. There's a little basket and this big flat bread that is very spongy. And they put all their food on that spongy bread and eat by it with their hands. You can see it? Oh, good. And these girls, and that's Jonah down there, but one of these girls is Trudy's student that started her little English class. And she was standing outside our neighbor's house, and Trudy invited her in. And then some of the other girls she invited, and now what's going on? Oh, that's the projection team up there. Here's a little girl. Now I gotta start over. Here's our sign, Gimbi Adventist Hospital. And that's in Oromifa, the local language. They use the same letters that we use. So you may think, well, that'd be easy for you to learn. Well, it's not. And we have a teacher that comes and tutors us, and we've been there for 2 years, and I can greet you and ask you how your health is, but not a lot more than that. Here's our hospital from the back view. We have a big, beautiful campus. It's somewhere around 30 or 40 acres. I haven't measured it exactly, but it's beautiful and lush most of the year. Our house is this direction by about 200 meters or so, and we live in a little grove of bananas and eucalyptus, and we have a view of the valley facing the other way. This is a home that's on our campus right below the hospital. It doesn't look like that every morning, but when it does, we're blessed. This is the front entrance of the hospital. This is a doctor seeing a patient. We're the referral hospital for the larger community. West Wallaga has 4 hospitals and a population of 2.3 million, the statistics I read last. And the largest hospital has 75 beds. We have 71 beds. And sometimes we have up to 115 or 20 beds that are crammed in during certain times of the year when people are harvesting coffee and have a little extra money. We are in a coffee-growing region. Ethiopia is the origin of domesticated coffee-growing country. So they're very proud of their coffee, and it's hard to get the Adventists not to drink it. This little girl is a satisfied customer. I mentioned that a lot of the women suffer from a prolapsed uterus, and we had a team come from OSHU, Oregon State Health Science University. And these are some of their patients. Everyone was happy to be getting this surgery. The families were pleased. Here we have 6 rural clinics. We had 7, but one burned down, and we're making plans to rebuild it. But these clinics provide, in some cases, the only medical care in the surrounding area. They would have to travel maybe a day's journey to go to another hospital, but because they're the only services there, they provide care to people who are in desperate shape many times, and a lot of maternal services. So this is one of our nurses that run a clinic for us. This woman's got a goiter. This is very common in our area because there's no iodine in the diet at all. We get iodine as Americans through our salt, but salt is produced locally. They just get it from the local mines, and it isn't processed. So even though we buy salt in Ethiopia with iodine in it, the local people just buy it in huge rocks at the market. And so this is a very common sight, unfortunately. And we've had some teams that come and do some corrective surgery on patients and improves their life dramatically. We can't do it for everyone, but here's some surgeons at work on a patient. This is our Ethiopian OBGYN, and this is a visiting surgeon. We have an OBGYN, we have a surgeon, and we have three general practitioners that work at our hospital, all of which are Ethiopian nationals and not Seventh-day Adventists, unfortunately. We would encourage you to help us find a doctor that would be willing to come over. We have a budget through the General Conference for one physician that hasn't been filled in Gimby for 3 years. So we've been managing with local professionals, though we would like to have an American expert come over and help up with administration and leadership in the medical areas. Here's a satisfied couple. She just had her prolapsed uterus surgery, and her husband looks just as happy. This is our chaplain, Petra Howe. She's the administrator's wife. She's our chaplain, and she provides our spiritual support to our patients. Another happy patient there. Happy patients make for good pictures, huh? By the grace of God, we've been able to do a lot of projects to improve our facilities since we arrived in Gimby. And this picture may not look so exciting to you, but to me, it means a lot. See that little black? That's a cable there. They're digging a trench, and they're installing a cable that's going to run from our new generator, which is up in this little building, down the hill, about a half a mile or so of cable, to our pump, which supplies water to our hospital. When we arrived in Gimby, we had water to our hospital about once every other day, once every 3 days. And we have tanks, so when the water was on, we could collect water and use that for a while. But we were in bad shape. After we got our new pump running and got everything connected with our water system, a visiting surgeon came to me and told me, he said, you know, we had about 100% post-operative infection rate. And I couldn't believe it. We're operating a hospital that's giving such poor care. And after we got our pump running, our infection rates went down to kind of negligible. People get infected once in a while. That's normal. But to have 100% is unacceptable. So I'm embarrassed and proud to tell you that we've made vast improvements since arriving in Gimby. Even this sidewalk here is a proud addition to our campus. Before, we had this sidewalk that goes from our hospital down this direction towards some of our on-call physicians' houses. They would have to walk through, in the rainy season, they'd be walking through, slogging through a creek to get to to an emergency in the hospital. So we've made a lot of upgrades. This is a project. This is not in Gimby, mind you. This is in Rwanda. I went to Rwanda to visit a factory where they're producing water filters. These are the water filters. They set into like a 5-gallon bucket, and you pour the water through the top, and gravity pulls it through, and you drink clean water down at the bottom. There's an NGO called Potters for Peace that is helping us, and we have a sponsor that's helping us to set up a water filter factory on our campus in Gimby. So I went and visited Rwanda's factory. There's 34 of these factories around the world, and we're excited to be able to start a factory on our campus. We have the land for it, and there's always a need for more jobs in Gimby, and we can use the coffee husks from the local coffee husking factory, and we can use those to fuel our kilns, where we'll fire these clay pots, which will be, they've been tested and work very effectively as water filters, and we'll be able to sell these at a profit for us, but at a reasonable price to the community. These will cost us in Gimby, because of the economy and price of everything, these will cost us with the bucket, with the tap and everything, and the box to ship it in, we'll be able to produce these for about $6 a piece. And so they'll be affordable for people in our area. People that are making a dollar a day can afford this sort of technology. And these, I was just amazed that we would be able to produce these at such a great price in our area. On our campus, though, we still need water up in our hospital, and we have springs at the bottom of our hill that we were able to source when I arrived, and we put in a new pump. But our collection area for that springs was below ground, and a lot of rainwater and groundwater would seep in and contaminate our cistern there. So we built this above-ground water tank, and we were very happy to be able to complete this. This is in the construction phase. We worked real hard to get this done. And we did this in the middle of rainy season. And that may have been foolish, but we don't want to delay these projects forever. So some guys came to me and they said, "Hey, Mr. Mark, there's a woman in town who you can pay her 50 burr and she can do something and make the rain stop." He said, "Do you want to do that?" I said, "No, I don't want to do that." I said, "We'll pray to the God in heaven who created the rain, and we'll ask him to do us a favor. But we're not going to go pay this woman in town." So we did pray that morning before the pour, and it didn't rain that day. And these guys came back to me at the end of the day, and they said, "Well, it's a good thing we didn't do that bad thing and contact that woman in town." I said, "It's a very good thing." But this is just an example of what kind of things are going on. Ethiopia has a Christian tradition that's very ancient, but some of the other, you know, local traditions are, you know, come to the surface once in a while. I was taking a walk one afternoon, and someone said, "Hey, do you know what that place over there is?" "No, I don't know what that place over there is, but it's behind a little wall." They said, "Well, that's where people go and worship snakes." I said, "Well, really? I didn't know that people worship snakes in Gimbi." You know, you hear mission stories from Eric Behar and these types of things, and we think, well, maybe this is the modern era and things aren't quite like that anymore. Well, those kind of things are still around. And even within the Adventist Church, there's a lot of things that people aren't aware of. People don't have Bibles. They don't have access to the Spirit of Prophecy, except with the exception of Steps to Christ. But many people can't even afford Bibles. So there's a great need in Ethiopia, especially in our area. It was the dream of William Tyndale, I believe, that every plowboy could afford a Bible. Well, it came true for Europe and America and a lot of the world, but in many parts of the world, that dream that the common people own a Bible has still not yet come true. So I hope that somehow we can help these people move forward. This is our nursing school under construction. It's right now, as we speak, it's pretty much complete. We have a library down here in the bottom, which includes a computer lab, and we have dormitories. These women are all nursing students being prepared for service in the hospital. At the best, we will hire ourselves, and the others can go look for jobs elsewhere. But the reason we started this nursing school was so that we could train a higher level of nursing to people and then bring them into the hospital. Well, unfortunately, the government didn't acknowledge our hard work, and many other nursing schools had popped up all over our region, and there was an overabundance of nurses and low-quality nurses at that. And so the government decided to shut down all new classes of nurses. So right now we have a second and third year nursing school college, but the first year nurses weren't allowed to start. So we got licensing to start a midwifery program. So we're going to phase out of nursing right now until we can get reaccredited for nursing school, and we're going to start teaching midwifery. So we're kind of changing our focus a bit, but we'll keep our school running. And midwives are needed very badly. It's very hard to find qualified midwives in Ethiopia. Here's our students happily studying away. And here is the countryside of Ethiopia. We see the Lord working in many ways in Ethiopia. And you don't have to go to a foreign mission field to see the Lord work on your behalf. But in an area where things are so difficult and moving forward with the next project is always a burden, and sometimes we're under-equipped to do the job that we set out to do, I just want to share with you some of the ways that the Lord has led and provided for us. Just to start with, I've already shown you a lot of the projects that we've been able to do, and that's all been done through outside support and by the Holy Spirit moving the hearts of our friends and family members and church members to contribute to the projects there in Gimby. And without them, you know, we wouldn't have clean water, we wouldn't have a new generator, we wouldn't have a new vehicle on the way, which is important being that we're 300 miles away from the capital city to go for supplies and things. But we have an ambulance, and this is an interesting story, but we have an ambulance that we were driving out to a clinic. We went and visited Mugi Clinic, which is out on the Sudan border, near the Sudan border. And our other vehicle was occupied, and you know, we're always short of transportation. So we decided, well, let's just take the ambulance out, and we'll take the clinic team. You know, we've got to take medicines, and we've got to take supplies, and do some of the business with the clinic. And so we made it out to the clinic. We had a little bit of a brake problem, but we were able to stop once we got there. And so everything went good on our clinic trip, and we enjoyed ourselves out there, and it's beautiful countryside. But on the way back, we were driving along, and this is I think it's a 1994 Ford big box ambulance, and I don't have a picture of it for you here. But it's a difficult vehicle to maintain in Ethiopia, and the roads are not easy on vehicles, new or old, but older vehicles fall susceptible to degradation, unfortunately. So we were coming down this hill, and this beautiful straight stretch of dirt road was in front of me, and naturally I accelerated, as any young man would like to do behind the wheel, with a straight stretch of road in front of him. But all of a sudden, the vehicle lurched and went into first gear. I thought, this is terrible. I need to get home today. I would like to get home today. But it slowed us way down. All of a sudden, we were driving, and I can't tell you what speed we were at and what speed we dropped to, but it was considerable, you know, from flat straight road to first gear. It slowed us way down. And then all of a sudden, the front of the vehicle just kind of lurched and skidded, and we were sliding down the road, and we already had a bit of a brake problem, but we came to a stop, and I opened my driver's side door, and the front wheel was turned about like this underneath me. And I thought, this is terrible. What could we possibly do? So I got underneath the thing, and we had in all the medical boxes, we had a lot of repair parts because we know this vehicle. So we got out the jack and the jack stand and a lot of tools we pulled out, and we jacked it up, and in about 5 hours we were ready. We got some of the girls on board. We had lost a bolt out of one of the swing arms underneath the vehicle, and they walked back along the road. They were trying to find this bolt that fell out. They couldn't find the bolt, but they walked back into a town a long ways back, and they brought back a bolt which was exactly what I needed, and a nut and lock washers, the whole thing, and it was a perfect fit. So that was a blessing. Point one. And then I needed a hammer. Things like underneath there had gotten jammed and bound up, and some of the braces had collapsed together, and I had to smack the thing to get it apart. And I needed a hammer. I didn't have anything but a little carpentry hammer for some of the, you know, handyman projects we were doing at the clinic. Someone walks out of the bushes with a hammer. Thank you for the hammer. And so we worked away, and in about 5 hours we had jacked this thing up and smacked the thing back into. We had to remove the whole bumper. We removed all the sirens that were underneath the thing, and we had this thing all dismantled, and sway arms were out. You know, we had a pile of parts that we piled in the back of the ambulance, but we got the thing back together. And I got to thinking, you know, when that We started it back up, put it in gear, and it went. No problem. We were driving in fourth gear, fifth gear. I was automatic. Maybe there's no fifth gear. But we were driving, and I thought, well, I wonder what happened with the transmission. Why did we drop into first gear right before this thing fell apart? I'd never had this happen before, but I can't think that it's anything less than a miracle that we went from high-speed travel to first gear before the thing fell apart. So that the Lord blesses, and he gives us the hammers we need at the time. And it's never easy, you know? I think of the hard work that we encounter in Gimby, and we, like, when we're at the end of our rope and we can't do anything more, the Lord provides what we need to keep things running. And we don't have the most stellar health care in the world out there, but it's the best that we can provide in that community. And the Lord always seems to come through for us. We had a problem with our NGO license. You know, NGO is non-governmental organization, and many charities operate in foreign countries as NGOs. It's a common term. I thought my wife was signaling me with something there. So we had to have a license, and Ethiopia was cracking down on NGOs. For whatever reason, they thought that NGOs were part of leaking secrets to the outside organizations, and they were going through the lists of all the charities operating in Ethiopia, and they kicked out about a third of all of the charity work that was happening in Ethiopia. So we were a little bit concerned that we were going to get picked on. We have a tradition, you know, we have a history of working in Ethiopia. We've been there for 70 years. Even while all the other, there was at one time four Adventist hospitals operating in Ethiopia, and now Gimby Adventist Hospital is the only one left. But the local people, the local officials, they appreciate what we're doing there. They realize that we're doing them a service that they wouldn't have otherwise. But we were still concerned that we would have problems. And our CEO and our chief financial officer were in Addis. They were appealing to the government agencies. They went into the authority that gives these licenses. And the guy behind the desk told them, you do not have what it takes to get this license. You don't have the right documents. You don't have the right paperwork. You didn't fill out this. You didn't, you know, giving them the runaround. You don't have the right financial proof that you're operating within the limits of what we need for you to operate legally. And Paul, our administrator, called me at the hospital and he said, pray. So we gathered together with some of the missionaries there at the hospital and we prayed. Well, Paul called me back the next day or so and he said, we've got it. We've got what? We've got the license. How do you have the license? How do you have this document that's going to allow us to import duty-free, that's going to allow us to operate and continue our operations? And, you know, we thought maybe we'll be getting kicked out. We thought we'd be going home. But the guy who had just told them the day before that they didn't have what it was going to take to get the license had said to them he would personally see it through. I can't help but know that the Lord has us in his hands. I have some notes here that I can just about make out. I was reading in an appeal for missions. Humanity is the instrument through which God works for humanity. Sounds a little redundant. Humanity works for humanity by the grace of God, basically. As Christ labored for sinners, so man must labor that humanity may be brought in communion, connection with divinity. So it's through our work that God gets his work accomplished. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Thank you. When God speaks, folks, does he give the power to make it happen? When God tells us we have a job to do, who provides the means? We can be a part of that work. By the grace of God, that work is accomplished, however. So I praise the Lord that he can use me and my little family out in Gimby to do that work that is needed. The hospital's been there for 70 years or so, many years before I arrived there, and I hoped it'll be there after I leave. But I thank the Lord that he has chosen us to be a part of that work. And we can't do what we do out there alone, and we depend on many people back home to support us, and it helps us feel like we're not so far. When we arrived in Gimby, we felt like we were at the end of the world. But when volunteers come out and people come out and visit us, and support comes from home, and when I needed some electrical parts, I called up a friend, and I said, "Hey, do you think a friend who had collaborated with his Sabbath school class to support us in many ways in the past. I said, "Hey, we need these parts. I can't get them anywhere in Ethiopia. We needed to be able to transfer between our generator and some power that was running from different meters. We needed to switch it back and forth." I said, "We can't get this kind of stuff in Ethiopia. Do you think you could send it over to us?" "Oh, yeah, no problem. Our Sabbath school class can cover that." And so they sent it over with two volunteers to help us build our water filters. They brought it on over. That's not good. Am I on? All right, that's what I wanted to show you. So I would invite you, if you would like to participate in our hospital work in any way, you can reach us. We're in Gimby. There's our P.O. box. We're managed by Adventist Health International. And Adventist Health has a website, adventisthealthinternational.org. And we appreciate all the support we can get out in Gimby. And I always enjoy inviting people to come to Gimby because, you know, there's many people that are looking for an overseas mission opportunity, and they're just waiting for an invitation or an opportunity. And I had the privilege of inviting Ashley Howe, Trudy's younger brother, to come over, and he's going to be coming over to assist us this coming year. And I don't pretend to be the voice of God, but some people have prayed, "Lord, I'm looking for an opportunity, and can you, you know, I'll go when I'm invited." Well, here's an invitation. You know, we're looking for people many times, so, you know, we appreciate being contacted and letting us know what your skills or interests are and how you can become involved in the work over there. So thank you for this time. I close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share with people here at home about the work that we're doing overseas. Thank you for using us. Thank you for the many blessings and miracles that you've provided to sustain us and support us in the work that we do. Please be with these people here at home in Oakhurst, in the mission field here, and please bless and guide each one of us as we seek to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.